and welcome to episode 41 of a Thai Football Podcast. I'm here in the studio this week and Rob is out and about. So before we go any further, let's check where he is. So are you there, Rob? And where are you?
Yes, Dale, this week I'm absent from the studio, moved down from the mountains of Thai to the city of Chiang Mai by the River Ping in a nice hotel with my good lady for my annual pilgrimage. I've been coming to this city, apart from the COVID years where travel was banned, since 2006 for the annual Chiang Mai International Cricket Sixes, where I've been a player, official, umpire, now on the committee, doing some commentary and welcoming friends from all over the world. It's a fantastic experience and still plenty of chance to watch local football. Not so much attending games because of my duties on Saturday nights when Port were at Lampoon. And I just love coming here each year. So hopefully I'll catch up with one or two people around and give you a roundup of what I've been watching.
Thanks, Rob. I'm certainly jealous. I'd much rather be up in Chiang Mai watching the cricket. But anyway, somebody's got to hold this whole thing together. We'll be checking in with Rob again a bit later. We're going to start this week, though, with some good news. Well, certainly some good news if you support a certain club in the northeast. After a year away, Nakhon Ratchasima FC are back in the top flight. And we're joined now by two of their fans, Mark Loveridge and Russ John, who are going to tell us all about the season they've just had. Over to you, Mark and Russ.
Hi, Dale. This is Mark Loveridge, a very, very, very happy Nakhon Ratchasima fan. We finally made it back to T1 after a year's break, give everybody a bit of peace and quiet. So now we're back, boys, to annoy you even more. I'll do a quick review of the Chiang Mai game. And it was a great draw. I watched the game. And I've got to say, for Chiang Mai, Mosquito, he's some player he is. He drifts in and out of the game, but he always seems to pop up and score goals. Our two strikers, Melvin and Greg, they popped up and scored their two goals. So it was a 2-2 draw. I was really impressed. I mean, it was a very tight game, as you can understand. And the crowd was back, which was nice to see. Still beyond the blooming paywall, but hey-ho, you never know, next year they might change it. Right, I did a season review because at the start of the season, obviously a lot of you know, or you might not know, we lost a lot of key players. Some went to Port and some went somewhere else. I was really, really nervous, to say the least, because they were all academy players that came in. And one thing I will say about our academy is now we've literally copied Buriram. We must have one of the best academies in the leagues. And I think that's why we never signed any new players, or we didn't keep any of the other players. As the season's gone on, this team has grown and grown and grown. And it's the first team I've seen for years, and I mean years, that actually work for each other. They love playing with each other because we all know what Thai football's like. They're all on one-year contracts and then they let them all go. But hopefully, because these players have all been tied with the club for a long time since they were kids, that they all stay together. And also, the squad itself is only worth €2.23 million. I mean, my side of I support at home is three times that amount easily. Anyway, okay, thanks, Dale.
Hello, Russ. It's great to catch up with you, mate. It's been too long.
Yeah, thanks, Dale. It's really great to hear from you too.
So how have you been?
I'm okay. I'm chilling as usual, you know.
So first off, how long have you actually been following Swapcat? Must be a while now, is it?
We actually came to live in Korat halfway through 2009, actually. And I think, thanks to Paul Hewitt, your mate, who I think you know well, he introduced me to Thai football and invited me to a match. And I've been with them ever since. And I think that was in 2010, 2011. We were in Tier 3, I think Northeast Division or something like that. I knew nothing about Thai football, but thanks to Paul, he drew me into the fold.
And he's got a lot to answer for, hasn't he?
He has indeed.
Next time I speak to him, I'll tell him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll tell him you hold him responsible for all your misery over the past 12 years.
I do.
But during that time, there must have been some good times, all joking aside. What's been the highlight so far, do you think, of your time supporting Swapcat?
Yeah, I mean, there have been a few. I mean, bearing in mind, we started in Tier 3, you know, there was only one way up, basically. And of course, that's happened over the span that I've been supporting them. I think the main highlight, which I'll always remember, is our first promotion to the Premier League. You know, that was a great occasion. And when I'd first started, naively, with Paul in those early days, I sort of really dreamt about supporting a Premiership team. So, of course, when we went up, Bob's your uncle. Another great, a great occasion for me really as well was 2 years ago, we made a little cup run to the final. I went to Ratchaburi for the semi-final and then, of course, to True Stadium where we lost in extra time to the mighty Bury Ram. But yeah, there have been lots of highlights. Some lows, but lots of highlights.
Plenty more to come, hopefully.
Yes, I hope so.
So are you still getting along to games? Have you been that often this season?
I missed a few early games because I'd lost a little bit of interest, to be honest. And what I tend to find is if the matches in Thailand clash with the Wolves games, the Mighty Wolves, I tend not to go to those. But I've been to most of the home games apart from those. We also went down to Pattaya and Rayong for the away games because I've got a friend that lives down there. So we had a little bit of a get-together. I'm a bit of a part-timer, really, to be honest, but we'll see.
Yeah, it's understandable, really. It's a big commitment, isn't it, following a Thai side, especially some of the distances involved in travelling to away games.
And of course, I travel 70 kilometres for every home game. You know, sometimes you think, oh, it's raining, you know, this, that and the other. But, you know, it's good. It's good. I enjoy it.
And what are your thoughts on the current team? How do they compare to teams of yesteryear?
Well, I mean, obviously, it's difficult to compare them being in Tier 2 because you can appear to be much better than you are because of the opposition. But I think it's a strong team. I actually thought that they would run away with the league this season. I think there were a lot of expectations that we would make a quick return. We're promoted. But I want the trophy, Dale, to be honest. I really do. Our three amigos, Melvin, Greg and Davidson, are really too good for Tier 2. I think that's probably one of the reasons why we've done so well. I think the three of them probably aren't quite up to Premier standards, but I think they're might too good for Tier 2 defences. Also, Coach Joe's done a good job. You know, I've criticised him in the past, but he's certainly got a formula to produce results. And really, at the end of the day, that's what really matters.
You can't really complain this season. I know you said you want the title, but I mean, Nong Bua have been impressive throughout. I saw them quite early on and I tipped them for promotion way back. So it's been a good battle, actually. And I think you've still got to play them, haven't you? Is that in a couple of weeks?
Yes, yeah, 2 weeks' time, yeah. Hey, of course, bearing in mind, you could become a Nong Bua supporter where you're going to be living, eh?
We're probably as close to Nong Bua as we are to Konkan City. So, yeah. I mean, I've been a couple of times and I enjoy my trips up there. It's always always a nice day out. Yeah. I enjoy going to that.
They're a good side and I won't begrudge them if they beat us to the title. I'm just happy. It's going to be a fantastic climax. I mean, in 2 weeks' time, can you imagine the 80th anniversary where obviously we've got to beat them to have any chance of winning the trophy? That's going to be some occasion.
It is, and hopefully a good crowd as well.
There were 8,000 there yesterday, Dale. There'll be over 10,000, 100% guaranteed, for the Nong Bua game. Because I think, I sense that the fans are sensing a little bit of success, you know what I mean? And they're gradually coming back. It was a great atmosphere yesterday. I really enjoyed it.
It's just a shame the result didn't go your way, really. It would have been a nice way to clinch promotion, wouldn't it?
I mean, obviously it would have been nice to have won. But I think if the top two places are decided by head-to-head, if we win our three remaining games, one of which is, of course, against Nong Bua, we'll be champions. So that's something, really, to hang our hopes on, you know. But either way, if Nong Bua win it, well done to them, you know, it's not a problem.
Promotion was the aim, wasn't it? That was the ultimate goal at the end of the season. So.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And could I just say, Dale, that I sense earlier in the season, I've made a few comments about that the performances haven't been brilliant at times, but you cannot fault the team for dragging results out week after week. I'm not quite sure what the tactic is, but it certainly works.
That's it. No, don't change a winning team, and whatever the formula is, stick to it. I think that's got to be the answer, hasn't it, really?
Absolutely.
So now you're back in the top flight. Do you think this is it now? Do you think you're going to consolidate and then you can push on from here? Where would you like to be in say, 5 years' time?
Yeah, can I just say to you, last season was a bloody disaster. And I think a lot of the fans were absolutely devastated with what happened. You know, when they brought in Blackwell and all the administrators, it just didn't work. And when I look at that squad now, as it was, they shouldn't have gone down. Anyway, so 5 years' time, unless there's a considerable investment in the club, the best we can get is mid to low table. And I'm afraid that that's my expectation. If they retain all the players from this year, which I hope they will, actually, I think they ought to be given a chance, I'd be head over heels if we got in the top 10. And then you say 5 years, if we're still there in 5 years, that would be great. All the cliches about, oh, massive potential, but unless we are invested in, we're going nowhere. If we can stay in the Premier League, that's fine by me.
That's a good point, actually, about potential, because it is a word that gets thrown around quite a lot when we talk about Nakhon Ratchasima. So yeah. do you think the crowds will come back? I mean, obviously, there's a bigger draw in the top flight. You know, you've got some big teams in there that'll bring a few away fans as well. Plus, you're going to get the sort of the floating fans, aren't you, coming in to watch your Bury Rams and your Mung Tongs and your Ports. You're someone who obviously, you know, you can remember the good days at Corat when you were pulling the big crowds. Do you think those days are going to come back?
I'm not quite sure. My sense is that what happened last year has put a lot of Thai fans off, and I wonder whether they will come back. I might be wrong, but I just have this feeling that a lot of people, like myself, actually, I was totally disenchanted with what happened. And I think a lot of fans, a lot of their favourite players were sacked the start of the season, got rid of. They brought in a whole new tranche of players who were probably better players, but I think a lot of the Thai fans didn't really like the idea that a lot of the players were dumped. And I wonder whether they're going to come back. I hope I'm wrong. I think if they're successful, if they're top eight, they will get a guaranteed 10 to 12,000 every week. If they're bottom five, 3,000, 4,000. And I think it's a simple formula. We all like success, Dale. SWATCAT fans are no different. If they're doing well, they'll get good crowds. I mean, yesterday, it was fantastic, you know, with 8,000. But I can remember the fateful days of, you know, 15, 16,000, 30-odd thousand against Bury Rams. Remember that fateful match? But I hope they do come back, but I do have my doubts. Only time will tell.
Well, let's hope so. I think, judging by comments I've read and things that I've heard, I think everybody's delighted that you're back in the top flight. It's a great opportunity for Thai football at a time when we need big teams and we need big crowds. Yeah. So congratulations on this season, and fingers crossed you have a great season next year and you can establish yourselves as a long-term top flight club. Big thanks to Mark and Russ for coming on. And it is great to see Korat, Nakhon Ratchasima, SWATCAT, Delete as applicable back in T1. Anyway, on to the current T1. There was a controversial match at Sukhothai at the weekend. And we've got two different viewpoints of that game now. We've got Reza, who's going to give us the Ratbury version, and we've got Bill, who's going to give us the Sukhothai version. And as always is the case in situations like this, the truth is probably somewhere in the middle.
Tied to Ball Podcast. Match reports.
Assalamualaikum, sawadikap, good evening from Sukhothai. Today we are in the Thai Lai Luang Stadium in the city of Sukhothai. Thai League is back after the international break. Today's match is the Thai League match day 22nd between Sukhothai and Ratchaburi FC. The match has ended 1-0 for the host. The game itself, Ratchaburi actually really dominating the match since the first half also, but they concede by a own goal from a lousy header. After that, Sukhothai only playing very, very defensively. It looks like they're ending the game already. Ratchaburi in the second half come out with attacking, again dominating the match, but Sukhothai looks like didn't want to continue the game. They just want to held the 3 points they thought in their hand. In the last minute of the injury time, Ratchaburi able to score and equalize, but referee said it's disallowed without checking to the VAR. Even with all the complaints from the players, and we are seeing in the replays that there is no foul by Ratchaburi, but the referee even didn't check to the screen of the VAR and decide the goal is overruled. Well, there it is. Not a good day for start of Thai League after the international break. And difficult every time away day, but it is what it is. Keep going. Come on, you Dragons.
Tied to Ball Podcast. Match reports.
Just a short report on Saturday's game between Sukhothai and Ratchaburi. It was probably the closest game I have seen all season. The teams were very evenly matched. Sukhothai missed a few chances, and I hear some people complaining that we didn't take our chances. But early in the game, Ratchaburi missed a couple of chances themselves. So all in all, it was a very even game. Sukhothai got a goal from an own goal, which was the only difference between the two teams. We came out with the plan of solid defense and breakaway attacks, which was exactly what we did. There was a bit of controversy at the end. In the 94th minute, Ratchaburi put the ball in the Sukhothai net, and I see some terrible comments from Ratchaburi supporters in the Sukhothai fan zone. However, as I understand it, Ratchaburi fouled a Sukhothai player at the edge of the box. The referee blew his whistle, and then they scored. I don't know what their argument was, but are they really telling the referee, no, you did not blow your whistle, when the referee knows very well that he did? I had a friend telling me, why did nobody go to VAR? Did the referee blow his whistle or didn't he? Probably nobody knows better than the referee, and you don't need VAR to tell if the referee blew his whistle or not. I think the whole thing's being blown out of proportion, unless, of course, there is something else that I don't know about. However, that's neither here nor there.
So there you have it. They say there are two sides to every story, and you just heard both of them. Now, I think it's time we caught up with Rob, see where he's at. So, Rob, have you got a roving report for us this week?
Yeah, a roving report of such, Dale. I'm out on location offering a postcard from Chiang Mai this week, where I'm at the annual Chiang Mai International Cricket Sixes. It's the 34th edition of this fine tournament. Been going since 1987, I believe. Catching up with friends, old and new. A fantastic event. I can't recommend it enough to those who enjoy the sport. And I'm joined by Jim Clark, who's up here because he went to Lampoon to cheer Porton and double-headed watching some cricket today. What do you make of this, Jim? Your first time here?
Yeah, it's a superb set-up for the cricket. Excellent. Really impressive.
Good. And last night, how did the game go?
It was entertaining. There were moments of some really good football, and both teams also produced some chaotic and terrible moments as well, and ended up being a decent end-to-end watch.
You reckon Lampoon will stay up on that form?
Yeah, well, they're safe, aren't they? They're more than safe already. They're a proper gammer team. They're very annoying. They've got the mongrel in them, as our Australian friends would say. They hurry. They annoy. But you've got to respect it, and they do that. They do something that's great to see. They don't stop playing when the other team's players hit the ground. We need a little bit more of it. We don't need the full gamma effect.
You think that's more or less the chances of Port's title?
We never had a chance of winning the title because we're poor.
They do draw some daft games, don't they, well, especially on the road.
I mean, I think Lampoon are a very, very good team. But you look at our second leg form, and we've drawn a number of the teams that are down there that if you're going to win the title, and as I say, I never feel that we are, but if you're going to be that kind of club, you've got to put the teams that we're drawing with to bed, and we're not playing particularly great against them.
No, I can see that. But, you know, I got down to the game against Trat, and it was okay, but there's an accident waiting to happen, conceding goals out there still.
Absolutely, and at 2-1 last night, you're sitting there, and we never have that assurance. You look at the solidity. Yeah, you know, look at Bangkok United when they came to us and the way they defended their one goal lead, and you compare that to us last night. There's a world. We're not a team that holds on to leads.
No. Lovely. Another day down here tomorrow, or are you sightseeing?
Yeah, we'll come back down here. It's a great setup that is worth coming back to. And we don't get much cricket in Thailand, so might as well enjoy it when you can.
No, I totally agree. No, I'm glad you're enjoying it. Thanks a lot, Jim.
Thanks, Rob, and thanks, Jim. Much appreciated. Just wish I was there with you, to be honest. But still, the show must go on, so here I am, ploughing along. Coming next is my interview with Ratbury fan Neil Oliver. During the course of our chat, we talked about Ratbury's fantastic start to the second leg, Saturday aside, of course, and Neil's ideas for improving Thai football. I know the moving of fixtures and kickoff times has been an issue for a long time, but Neil has some revolutionary ideas to sort all that out. So this is me and Neil, recorded earlier this week.
A Thai Football Podcast interview.
Hello, Neil. Thanks very much for joining us this week. Really appreciate it.
Hello, Dale. Good to be here. You said you would get me here at last.
I did. And it's kind of by default, really, isn't it? Because are you a last-minute substitute for John?
That's right. John was going to do it. He thought he was teaching karate tonight. He's going to be teaching from 6 to 11 on crutches. So it should be interesting to watch.
Probably far more interesting than this podcast, actually.
So you may hear the odd cry in the background where they're doing something. So he's in the dojo just down below me.
That's absolutely fine. Don't mind that. Adds to the atmosphere and the ambiance. But thanks, yeah. Thanks for stepping in anyway. So before we get on to the main body of our chat, I just want to mention Saturday. Ratbury travelled to Sukhothai and ended up losing 1-0. But that doesn't really tell the whole story. As we've already heard from Reza and Bill, there was a little bit of controversy towards the end. So what was your take on that? You were at the ground, weren't you? You were watching the game.
I was there, yes. It was a goal. There's no doubt about it. It was a goal. The referee can only wind back so far. And VAR should have sorted it out, but I'm not a great fan of VAR. I'm not sure it's VAR or the referee in the end that said no goal, but it was a goal. I mean, it's interesting to see what Kung Fluke is saying on social media, if the translations that I'm reading are correct. Apparently, he's going to use his position at the FA to actually take the referee to task. He's actually gone on social media saying cheating, which is quite strong words.
That's quite an accusation, isn't it? So I guess we'll have to see how that unfolds. I mean, my understanding of the situation was, obviously, I've seen the clip. The referee blew his whistle after what he thought was a foul, and that whistle went before the ball was in the net, which is why VAR can't overrule it. If he'd have waited to see what would have happened and the ball had gone in, then they could have overturned his decision and awarded the goal if they felt that was the right thing to do. I think that clears that up. But whether he should have blown or whether he should have waited is obviously that's the big debate.
Is that not the thing with VAR, though? They wait until the manoeuvre is over, the ball is in the net or it's missed before something happens.
My understanding is if he gives the decision on field, if he blows the whistle, which he did, then VAR can't intervene because obviously as soon as he blows his whistle, play stops. Then all the defenders would have stopped playing. I think the argument is he shouldn't have blown his whistle, he should have waited.
I mean, it's not going to be a huge problem for Ratchaburi. I mean, Ratchaburi are hopefully fairly safe at the moment, but it could have a big effect on those teams at the bottom. It's not Ratchaburi that are going to suffer, but it could be, for instance, Chonburi that suffers. Those extra 2 points could make a big difference down there.
That was my first thought, Neil.
Right. And that's exactly what I'm thinking.
Well, we'll see what happens. I guess we've certainly not heard the end of it, have we? Anyway, on to happier things. Saturday aside, Ratbury have had a fantastic second leg, haven't you?
By November, I was convinced that Ratchaburi were going to be a huge relegation candidate. But then they got rid of two players. They got rid of Owen Forties and Giovanni Seal, and they've not really looked back since. And they got results at some amazing places. So that's when it all started. When they got rid of those two players, they said they were bad word. I don't really know, but it made a huge difference. And then they brought in a couple of extra players in the second leg, and they just carried on from there.
It has been a remarkable second leg for you, hasn't it? I mean, what was it before Saturday? 6 wins and 1 draw, I think.
I think we had 1 draw and the rest were wins, weren't they?
Which is incredible form.
But it's no more than we really expected. The teams we were playing weren't the best teams, and we always knew we could get a result with them.
So what are your expectations now for the rest of the season?
Problem is, we've got the Big Six to face yet. So while I'd like to think we would do well, I'm sort of sat on the fence. I've always been Mr. Pessimist. Very, very difficult. You know, like we beat Bangkok United in the Cup. Will we beat them at At home, I don't know. You know, in the league, could be a completely different thing. You know, we've got the likes of Brewer around to play. You know, we've got all the big boys to play yet. But I'm still hopeful of a top six finish.
I think that's a reasonable expectation now, isn't it? And it'll be a good measure of how far you've come when you do play against the bigger clubs. So overall, how would you sum up your season so far?
I think the season itself is a bit of a mess. You know, with you know, if we take it to the mess of tie fixtures, what a second leg we've had. The first 6 weeks, no football. We've just had another break, 14th to 30th of March. We're going to have another break, 8th and 19th of April. The league is stuttering along. It's not flowing. I can't think, oh, it's Saturday, I'm going to the football today. No, it's all over the show. You know, the first 13 weeks, we've had just 8 games. It's just not right. The idea is to get bums back on seats. What do we have now? Midweek fixtures. Thai people have got to work. You know, they can't make it to midweek fixtures. The crowds will go down. Early kickoffs. Again, half an hour into a match, you see people still arriving at football matches. Why doesn't somebody from the FA go and actually watch a few of these games and realise that if they have a 5:30 kickoff, the crowds will be low. People are still at work. They can't make it. Lengthen the season a bit or play some of these other holidays that we're having off. I mean, we've just had Easter in England. It hasn't stopped them playing football. You know, Christmas, one of the busiest times of football. So what's wrong in Thailand? Why do we need so many breaks?
This is something that's obviously been rumbling on for quite a few years now. And the main reason tends to be that the national team take priority. It's always been the case. And unless things change, unless there's a massive sea change, I think it always will be the case. What are your hopes for the new regime? Do you think they will look at the things you've just talked about and maybe try and instigate some sort of change?
I hope so. They're always talking about bums on seats. Nothing I'm really seeing is doing anything to get the bums back on seats. I've missed a couple of games this season because of their mismanagement of the fixtures. I've already booked my flight to Chiang Rai. Will it happen? I don't know. Am I going to lose my flight? You can't plan anything on Thai fixtures. I hope they will sort it out. Somebody's got to do something. Every year at the start of the season, we all wait for the fixture list to come out. We think, great, playing there, 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 and there. And be sure within 2 weeks it's all changed. The way they manage actual Thai fixtures is a nightmare. Can't plan for a thing. Another example was back at Christmas. Actually, we were going to be playing Port at home. I actually went the full hog for all the Wahin Dragons, ordered orange Santa hats and false beards. I'd send it all back. You know, we were really looking forward to that, but there's no way I was going to go up for Madam Pang's swan song at Port. I don't know. Somebody's got to sort something out. Is Madam Pang the woman? Maybe she can do it. We can but hope.
If you were in charge, Neil, if you were in charge of the Thai FA and the Football League, how would you do it? How would you work the fixtures out and how would you ensure that we were getting people into grounds at sensible kickoff times? What do you think the answer is?
First thing's got to be the actual start times. I mean, why do they need a 5:30 or a 5 o'clock kickoff? That's crazy. I mean, okay, in the lower leagues, you understand that they've got no floodlights. They've got to play in the sunshine. Why do we need 5:30, 6 o'clock, 6:30, 7 o'clock?
I think certainly for midweek games, the kickoff times need to be looked at. You know, in England, it tends to be sort of 7:30 p.m, 7:45, 8 p.m. is the latest, isn't it? You think something like that would work for the midweek fixtures? But weekends, what do you think the optimum time is for kickoffs at weekends?
Well, I think 7 o'clock is fine. You know, I've always noticed anything before 7 o'clock, you look at the entrances to the stadium and people are still coming in right up to like 7 o'clock. After that, it just eases off. So if they're going to come, they're going to come. Yeah, but having a 5:30 kickoff when people are at work or got to rush from work to get to the game, it's just not working. And it's not just midweek. It seems Saturdays are just as bad. If they have a 5:30 kickoff on a Saturday, then it's just a small crowd to start with, and they trickle in as the game carries on.
What would you do about the lengthy breaks that you said earlier just disrupt the season and make it so difficult for people to plan? What would you do about that?
I mean, the next break, for instance, for Songkran. Why do they really need a break for Songkran? They don't have one for the new year in England or Christmas or Easter. No, but it's just no continuity. The only thing it helps with is getting injured players back on the side. I can't see anything else that it achieves. I mean, Ratchbury, probably like everybody else, has recently had to arrange friendlies to bridge the gap, you know, during the last break. You know, you've got to keep these players playing. Do they need all these different dates off? and they get a long enough break in the close season anyway.
I agree with you on the friendlies. That's something that has always bugged me, is they'll have these breaks and then teams will play friendlies during them, which doesn't seem to make much sense to me. I think the issue with Songkran is that, you know, comparing it to Christmas and Easter, obviously over here, I'm in England now. Over here, we have this culture of playing football on these dates, and it's the big traditional times to play. That isn't so much the case in Thailand. But on the one occasion they've played a game during the Songkran holiday, actually on one of the Songkran days, I remember was Buriram United against Chonburi. There were 35,000 people there, which probably backs up your argument. Although whether it would be the same throughout the country or not is, again, another matter. You know, people do return to their home towns, their home provinces over Songkran. So Bangkok, for example, is empty. Chonburi, there's hardly anyone there because everybody leaves to go back to the north and the northeast. I think give it a go. I agree with you. I think there's nothing to lose, is there, by scheduling some Songkran fixtures and just seeing what happens.
Probably the Buriram game you talked about was at Buriram. So a lot of people go back to Isan for the likes of Songkran. So they all were getting that chance to go and see a game. I mean, likewise, nobody's at work. So again, there's nothing stopping people. Oh, go to a game of football tonight. No, they've got the day off anyway, so enjoy it.
You never know. Next season, we might see it. Full fixture list over the Songkran holiday. That would be great, I think. Now, you mentioned earlier, you have all these plans. You know, you bought the Santa hats and the beards and you travel all over the country. This is part of your fan club, isn't it? The Herhin Dragons.
Yeah.
And you're fairly well established now. So how does that all work?
Well, I mean, at the moment, because of COVID and whatever, people going home, we're down to 3 hardcore. But we've had quite an injury list ourselves this year. Started off with Jan. He had an argument with a motorcycle. Needed a new hip. He's learning to walk. He's been to one game since he had his operation. Then there's John. He's had quite a major knee operation. He's on crutches until the 15th of April. And just a quickie on Dragon Solar Park here. In my opinion, pound for pound, the stadium is probably the best in the country. Some may argue, I don't care about that, but it's a pretty good ground. But if you've got any disability whatsoever, it's a death trap. If you go into that stadium, there are no handrails anywhere. I say Jan made it back to one game, and I couldn't watch him going down the steps. You know, the guy's had a new hip, he's just learned how to walk again. And, well, I honestly, to this day, do not know how he got to the bottom of the steps. Something that, you know, maybe the club needs to look at. But a beautiful stadium, and certainly neither John nor Jan can go there until they are fit again. And as for me, I was at the Police Terror game, joking with Rizzo, of all people, saying I was the last Wahin Dragon standing. I came home after the Police game, tripped over on a dojo mat, and went ribs first into a metal bench. And I had my first experience of a Thai ambulance. I've been out for a few weeks as well, not been able to travel. Although my first game back then was Lampoon, and I was still on morphine at the time.
Some people will probably argue that's the best way to watch Thai football, on morphine, but let's not go down that route. Well, I'm sorry to hear about all your misfortune, and I hope you're feeling better, and obviously wish a speedy recovery to Jan and John. But it is a valid point what you make about stadiums. As you were talking, I was trying to think, obviously I know Chonburi Stadium very well, and I was trying to think about all the entrance points to that ground. And as far as I can recall, every single entrance to that ground, you have to go up a flight of steps. I'm pretty sure that's the case. I mean, obviously you can gain access at the sides when they open the main gates, but actually getting into the stands, you have to go up steps. It'd be interesting to know what it's like at other grounds, actually, because that's a great point you make there, Neil.
In fairness to Ratchaburi, they do have a very small disabled area. It's at pitch level, sort of opposite where the away supporters go. But it's very small, and I would think the view from there would be terrible. I've offered to take John there in a wheelchair, but he just says no, he isn't going to watch a game from there. He'd rather watch it on TV.
It'd be interesting to see what facilities they do have at grounds, what access they do have for people, elderly people or people who struggle to get around, certainly. Just to close, what would be your perfect run-in from now to the end of the season, and what would you like to do next season?
Well, I mean, one thing people are probably forgetting is that we did have the league's leading goal scorer at the end of leg one, Mr. Najiba. He was injured. We've now got Lima in, who scored four in the first four games. Just think what they are going to be like next season when they're both together, if we hang on to the both of them. Ratchaburi are going to be quite a force up front, and we've probably still got the best defence in the country, or one of the best defences, you know, with Jonathan and Park and Campon in goal. Nobody gets past those guys very easily. You know, like, even when we lose, we only lose by a goal. Don't like to rub it in, but nobody's put six passes yet this season.
Are you confident going into next season then? You think you can maintain this momentum that you've been building up and, what, top four finish? Is that something that's achievable?
With the side we've got at the moment, yes. But unfortunately, with Thai football, the side you've got this season is very different to the side you have next season. If they can retain the players and maybe even get a coach to last more than one season, yeah, I think we've got a really good chance. They've got to start shooting a bit more. I mean, at Sukhothai, they were trying to run the ball into the net all the time. I think they only had one shot, and that's the one they scored with, or nearly scored with. Getting Najiba back, play him up front with Lima. It's going to be an incredible team. It really is. You know, the coach has got them playing really good football. Possession football, the other teams get very frustrated just trying to get the ball. There's a lot of potential there.
And that's a very positive place to end it. So thank you, Neil, and thanks again for stepping in at the last minute. And all the best to Jan and John. Hope they're soon up and about again. And good luck to Ratbury for the rest of the season.
Right, thank you very much. And thank you for asking me.
Great stuff. And I'm sure there are a lot of you out there who will agree with Neil about the fixtures and the kickoff times. Something that does need sorting. And as we've said, you know, we've got to give this new regime a better chance. You know, it could be something that's high on their agenda. They've already this week shown that they're prepared to change things about by spreading the midweek games over 3 days. So promising early signs.
Hi, my name's John. And I'm listening to Thai Football Podcast, the Thinking Person's Thai Football Podcast.
Have any of you ever wanted to own or part own a football club? A few weeks ago, I spoke to Russ Horsley about his new academy opening in Phuket. Well, things have moved on, and they've moved on really quickly. And Russ is now in the market for buying a current T2 team, and he's offered the opportunity for people to get involved and become part owners. So this is me and Russ, and he's going to explain how to go about it if you want to become part owner of a Thai Football League club.
A Thai Football Podcast interview.
So, welcome back, Russ. It's great to have you back on the podcast. And this time, you're here to talk about a very exciting development. You're looking to buy a football club in Thailand. Is that right?
It is, Dale, yeah. Thanks for having me back on. Potentially, yes, looking to buy a club at maybe a Division 2 level. It's grown out of the concept I talked about before, so setting up and running an international academy. And I've been approached by a few people in Thailand who have said because of the current difficulties Division 2 teams are facing, there could be opportunity to take over one. We've started talking to two or three, and if everything works out, we're looking forward to the challenge, and hopefully I'll be in charge of a Division 2 team for the start of next season.
I know you can't name the teams you've been talking to for obvious reasons, but what sort of reaction have you had when you've approached them?
Mixed. One of the clubs was very, very excited. And if I'm being honest, they started talking about buy the whole club. And now they've started to get excited by our project. And they're saying they'd like us to work with them. So that's a negotiation one. One of the others, to be quite honest, I was introduced by an agent who told me it was categorically for a sale at a given price. And then I got involved in conversations with them, and it went up by nearly 10 million baht. And we very, very quickly discovered that they got some really frightening financial situations that they've got to overcome. But I would say more positive than negative. And certainly all the people I've talked to recognise that Division 2 teams need a little bit of help at the moment. Not necessarily a different model on the football field, but a different model in the boardroom for how you fund these clubs, how you manage them. And we've certainly got that model in place, and we'd be excited to implement it and see what we can do.
The last time we spoke, obviously this was sort of one of your ultimate goals, wasn't it? To start with your academy and build up. And you did mention maybe getting a team in the semi-pro league or the lower reaches of the Thai leagues. So is this something that now it's more of a fast-track situation? You've got this opportunity, so you kind of skipping a few steps in order to bring that to fruition a bit quicker?
To some extent, yeah. It helps the academy project to be linked with a professional club, even more so if you own the professional club, because to some extent you can control the pathways for the young players you're working with in the academy. If we formed our own club, we'd obviously have to start at semi-pro level, and you know, it could take us a number of years before we reach Division 2. We know we're working with the caliber of a player, even in our academy systems, that could play at that level and be very successful at that level. I know we can only play so many international players, but we know we've got those players in our model, in our business, that we can introduce. And financially, for some of the clubs in Division 2, to buy them wouldn't cost that much more than starting your own club, having to find your own grounds, etc., etc. So it is a bit of a fast track. It's entry into a much better standard of football. And also, the group we've got behind us and the business model we've got behind us, we think the most exciting part about it is that we could build a club very quickly that could be challenging to play in the top league.
Now, one of the things, I'm not trying to put you on the spot here, one of the things that annoys fans is that in the past, clubs have been bought and then relocated. Now, the last time we spoke, you were obviously setting up the academy in Phuket. Now, the club you buy eventually, would you leave them in their current location, or would you look at moving them to Phuket? And I appreciate it's a tough question. If you don't want to answer, Russ, that's absolutely fine.
No, it's fine. We'd absolutely look to keep it where it is. We recognise that wherever we buy a club, it's going to be part of that local community, and we want to build on that rather than take it away. We might still have elements of the academy in Phuket because that works for the academy, but it'd have a pathway to the professional club wherever that may be, and we definitely want to keep it where it is.
That's very reassuring, and I think a lot of people will be quite grateful for that. You've been advertising on social media. You've been looking for people to get involved and invest. If somebody was interested, you've already said you've got backers and you've got people who are already going to stump up some money. And I know you've been talking to people with lots of experience as well. If, for example, somebody saw your tweet and thought, yeah, that's something I could get involved in, what would the next step be and what would the expectation be for them and for you?
One of the things we want to look at is not fan ownership, but certainly fan involvement. So we're looking at things like FTN systems, you know, where you can buy tokens in the club and those sorts of things. And they start at a couple of hundred baht. So, you know, even for the diehard fan who wants to get involved but doesn't have the capital to really invest, we've got models for that type of person. Local businesses, and I know that's difficult because you don't know where the club is yet, but businesses in Thailand, we'd love to bring in as sponsors of either, you know, the senior team, the club as a whole, or the international academy, which obviously brings in a different dynamic. And I think the big money, to be honest, we've got that behind us. So it's more those middle tier sponsors and local people to get involved. And going back to your previous question about keeping it in the local community, A, we respect local communities and the part a football club can play in that. B, we respect the fact that this is a Thai football club and we don't want it to stop it being a Thai football club. We want to continue that story and we want to bring local Thai people into it. So next steps, they can obviously follow us on Instagram or Twitter. I'll share an email address with you as well where people can reach out to me. And as I say, we've already got a company registered in Phuket as well. So if people wanted to come and have face-to-face meetings and things, we can do that as well.
So basically, it's just a case of getting in touch and expressing interest in the first
Absolutely.
Part.
And I would also add, you know, we are currently talking to, as I say, two clubs direct and possibly a third. But if there are listeners to this who are engaged with their local football club and it's playing at Division 2, and if they think or know that this could apply to their club, get in touch, because nothing's sealed at the moment. There's no deal complete and we're happy to talk to any second division club and explore whether it's a good fit for our model or not. And again, if we're a good fit for its model.
So anybody who's listening, we'll put Russ's email address in the notes for the show. You can follow him on social media and you'll be happy to answer any questions or any queries
Absolutely.
That people have.
We can communicate by email. We can get on video calls, WhatsApp calls. And as I say, once I'm back in Thailand in a few weeks' time, more than happy to meet people face to face as well.
Well, wish you all the best with that, mate. And thanks for coming on and telling us all about it. And maybe this time next season, we'll be talking to you after you've won promotion to the top tier.
Let's hope so. That'd be a great story, yeah. We think getting to the top division is feasible. Whether we can do it in 1 year, maybe not. But certainly over 3 years, say, we want to be a first division club once we take over somebody.
I'm sure you'll agree that's a very exciting new project that Russ has got going there. And if you do want to get involved, check out the notes to the show. All the information you need is there to contact Russ, and I'm sure he'll be more than happy to answer your questions. Now, we're going to end this week's programme with our man on the move. I'm going to hand over to Rob, and I think he's going to ruffle a few feathers with what he's about to say. So I'm going to take my leave, and I'm going to leave him to it, and you can muse on his comments for the whole week, and we'll pick up next week when we're both back in the studio.
Tuesday night, Dale, I've just watched the Port game, or at least the second half of it, against Sukkotai, and it wasn't great standard, I must admit. Could have ended a lot more than 1-0 to the home side. Wasteful at both ends. And the bottom of the table after the weekend results, and especially this evening, Pratchup winning again. It's going to take a brave man to pick the three who are going to go down. Meanwhile, at the weekend, I enjoyed seeing Cesar Kett clinch promotion on YouTube on Sunday evening after the cricket. Especially after going 1-0 down at Marasara Kamura, a strong side, and probably fancy them still to get into the playoff for the third promotion spot. Who'll land in that spot in the southern section? Another brave decision to make. Bangkok FC, as we predicted all season. Excellent. And T2, well, you called it, Dale, Nombua Pichaya. And well done to Nakhon Ratchasima as well, who are going to be joining me in T1 next season. So still lots to play for, and more games to go this midweek. And I'll be keeping a close eye on them before I head back down on Sunday, back to Bangkok, where hopefully all wind in the right direction, my roving report will be from Bangkok United against Port. So wherever you are, everyone, try and get to some football at the weekend. Do it with a smile on your face, because there are some bad news stories, as we're seeing, and rumours of clubs going bust, but what will be will be. And football's only a game at the end of the day. There's other clubs to support. I know that probably doesn't sound very traditional, but Thailand football's still finding its feet. Try and relax, enjoy life, and have fun. We'll be right back.